Well, good afternoon. I am thrilled to be here. This is Carol with Arts Live and Local. I'm thrilled that you're all here, too. That last piece was dedicated to the people of Portland. Ain't gonna let nobody turn us round. And all the people who are standing up and speaking out for justice. And also to the honor and memory of John Lewis, Dr. Vivian, who died last week after my show went out. And we have so many heroes. We have so many heroes. And may we be part of that group. Also want to send out healing wishes to RBG, Notorious RBG. She's one of my heroes. And to all who are in need of healing. Last, I want to just give a big shout out, thanks in case I run out at the end, to Cindy, who kept the show going while I was out and maybe back again. And to Todd also. And a big thanks to our fabulous KMUN staff and board and volunteers. And to all of you who are supporting this station, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world, maybe Squamish, Sydney and Robin, Omaha, New York East Side, Susan and West Side, Bob and Viv, Donnie and Long Beach, Chava, Montreal, Steph in Wyoming, and my local artists. I'm so excited. The 10th annual Astoria Open Studios Tour is this weekend. How is that possible, you ask? Well, it's the 10th annual Open Studios Tour, but it's the first annual, hopefully not, the first, perhaps only, virtual Open Studio Tour. And this is from Astoria Visual Arts. And here to talk to us about it is the AVA's first executive director, Annie Eskelin. Annie, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Carol.
Great.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to hear your voice. I love it. Emails are just not the same. And with Annie is an artist who I thought I didn't know, but apparently, because I've been eavesdropping on their conversation, I have met Tabor Porter. Hi, Tabor.
Hi. How are you, Carol? I want to say to you, too, thank you for all you do in town for the arts community and for those people who are disenfranchised. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks. Well, I want Annie to tell us all about how the heck this is going to work and who the AVA is. And I also want to talk to Tabor about his artwork. Thanks for sending me some of that, Annie, so I could get a look at it. And you are a metalsmith and sculptor, is what I'm understanding. Is that how you describe yourself, Tabor?
Yes, that's me.
Okay. So we're going to open up with Annie giving us an overview. Annie, who is also an artist, she and her husband both, Bill. And Annie came to us. When was that?
Going on 5 years now.
Wow. It seems like just yesterday. I remember being so excited to read about you because you were the former director of Union County Arts and Culture Center. And I thought, whoa, I mean, she's going to hit the ground running, and you have indeed. So this is terrific. Tell us about the AVA and how this whole virtual thing is going to happen.
Sure. Glad to. So when this COVID hit, right around January, February is right at the time when we start organizing for our annual open studio tour event. So we started researching what other tours are doing across the country, and it was a big mixed bag. A lot of open studio events had opted to cancel. Some local or regional tours that I look up to and admire. But Astoria Visual Arts works to enhance, strengthen, and promote the arts in Greater Astoria. And so really, when we sat down and thought, can we still do that with this event? And the answer is yes. So it's a learning curve, certainly. And so this year's event is kind of two parts. We have the virtual event, which is going to be exclusively online. And then we also have an exhibit at AVA that is located in downtown Astoria at 10th and Duane. Mm-hmm. And we have most of the artists that are participating in the tour also have some work in an exhibit called Artists of Astoria that you can see on Fridays and Saturdays.
So
open right now.
So people can actually go into the studio, into the gallery?
Yes. You can go into the gallery. It's a little bit minimized hours as we're all volunteer run. So we are working to be very sensitive to our volunteers and what they're comfortable with. Of course, everybody has to wear a mask and sanitize. But it's still possible to see art in person.
That's great. What kind of hours are you doing? Or does it change depending on the volunteers?
Well, we're just getting going. So right now we're only open Fridays and Saturdays. That seems to be a good time for when people are in town, out and about, and want to do things. So we're open from noon to 4. Mm-hmm. And we're also open by appointment if anybody can't make it during that time. Send us an email at astoriavisualarts@gmail.com, and there's a board of 11 people. We will gladly come down and open the space for you.
That's exciting. 11 people on the board. That's terrific. So what's in the gallery right now? Is this somebody's show, or is this a mixture of all of the participating artists?
Yeah, so this is the second year that we've been able to do an exhibit in conjunction with Open Studios. So the participating artists were invited to bring 2 to 4 pieces to exhibit.
So and people so can get a taste of what the artist has. And in past times, then they could go to their studio.
Which is, it's an absolute tragedy that that can't occur this year, or it's not safe for it to occur.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly couldn't feel good about inviting the general public into artist studio spaces. It just wasn't a thing to do.
Right.
So instead, we explained to the artists what our plan was, and so some artists produced their own videos because they had the means, and so those will be the videos that highlight or showcase an artist studio. And there's about 7 or 8 that AVA actually went into their studios, interviewed them, took footage of them working, talking about their art, and then we are producing about 8 videos as well. So it's kind of it's a mixed bag. Some of them are just an artist working to, say, music, and some of them are more a formal interview where artists goes through their process. The videos are as unique as the artists themselves.
Very cool. Very cool. And how does someone access this?
So the tour officially kicks off. It's always the last weekend of July. It officially kicks off tomorrow, July 25th. And so that's when the videos are going to be available. So, but because this is a virtual event, you don't have to sit down at your computer, diligently watch, 2 hours of videos. We're promoting this so that the tour is actually going to run for a month.
Oh, great. Excellent.
Yeah. Pretty excited about it because it'll allow people to... It's always been an issue each year that, traditionally we have 50 artists participating that people cannot make it to.
I know. That's been I love this studio tour, and you always have a terrific booklet with maps and pictures, and I never am able to make it to everybody's place. It's just impossible. Not because they're so far apart, but because it's so interesting going into each studio, talking to people, seeing their work, eating their cookies or whatever, and then the day is gone. So this is good that we can take our time. There's no interactive part of this though, right? But you
there
can get
isn't
in touch
this year. We're pretty. I've seen a lot of open studio events where they really get into it and have these interactive maps and Zoom things. But that is outside of our small budget, unfortunately. But this has been an incredibly positive experience.
Mm.
Rather than, sitting on our hands and doing nothing, that artists are thinking about their own promotion,
mm-hmm.
something that a lot of artists don't, do.
Yeah, that's the hard part about being an artist is marketing.
Right, so. getting yourselves out there.
Yeah.
One of the things that can't necessarily happen, and that is one of the tragedies, I think, this year, and just of 2020 in general, is we're missing out on a lot of revenue that open studios generates for artists. A typical year, we learn from post-tour surveys that our artists are making between $20,000 and $30,000 in 10 hours.
Wow.
And
I had no idea. That's fantastic.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So this year, we really want to encourage people, because this is a virtual event, you're not able to connect to the physical, tangible pieces in somebody's, studio and ask them how much they are and purchase them right on the spot to reach out to an artist and seek them out on social media, see if they have a website. And so at the end of each video, or most of them anyway, there's links to how you can learn more.
Great.
And I think there's about 6 artists that are represented by local galleries.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see their work where they're represented.
Right. Excellent. Excellent. Okay, so again, the AVA Gallery itself is on 10th and Duane in Astoria, and it's open Fridays and Saturdays, noon to 4. That's not just this week. Every week? Is that what you're saying at this point?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, every week. We have shows 12 months a year, so that's our hours.
Excellent. Okay, now let me move over to Tabor, who is, congratulations, one of the, did you say there were 20 artists involved, Annie?
Yeah, there's actually 17. We had a few
17.
People
okay.
drop off. It's a brave thing to do to put yourself out there on a video.
Yeah.
Not for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and depending on the success, I think it's going to change some people's lives as well. But Tabor, were you one of the brave ones? Do you have a video in there?
I do. I have a video in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us about yourself. You're new-ish to the area.
New-ish. And yeah, I've been here about 4 years now.
Oh, okay.
And I was, in Portland, I was a social worker on the streets for Burnside Projects, and I ran the alcohol-free community for the homeless people, Burnside Projects.
Yeah. Wow.
Graduated from Evergreen State College, and my minor was in art. And while I was there, I became interested in classes at Oregon College of Art and Craft because I needed something. It was a serious job I was doing. Needed something to sort of let off steam. And I'm a person with HIV/AIDS. I've had HIV and AIDS for over 30 years now. I'm one
mm-hmm.
of the early survivors.
Mm-hmm.
And I've somehow gotten lucky, as a lot of my friends have died beside mm-hmm. me. I've gotten lucky, and I'm able to stay here right now to see all the alarming things going on in the world and in here in the United States. I explored originally in my art to heal myself. It was a process that I did because I spiritually believe in the collective unconscious, that we're all connected somehow with the backside of our brains. We all come from that same place. And I've taught myself to remember my dreams. And so my personal mythology I bring out through my art in symbols and found objects and different kinds of materials to describe the ideas that I come up with when I'm dreaming.
I could see that in the pieces that Annie sent me.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
beautiful.
You. And then when other people wear them and they connect with them, those illuminations consciously or unconsciously projected from them. And because I believe that jewelry is kind of an alchemy thing, that it's magical, that's what it was originally. It later became sort of a thing that represented how much wealth you have, and I'm mm-hmm. diabolically opposite of that. I am more of a person that wants to portray the kind of person you are by what you wear.
Well,
I do it for myself, but now I do it for others as well, and I really enjoy it. I'm a career artist.
So tell
and
folks.
Let me finish just a sec.
Yeah.
When the COVID hit and all the galleries went down, I was panicky because all of a sudden I had absolutely no income. And luckily, my daughter-in-law just graduated from Pacific, and she's into websites and et cetera. And talking about promoting myself, I've never had to, because I was at Real Mother Goose in Portland, and they promoted me. They did everything for me. I was one of their stable artists. And coming up here, I am at River City Gallery. I have a lot of jewelry there. If anyone wants to see it there, and at AVA. But I've had to learn how to promote myself online. And my website will go up toward the beginning of August for people to look at, and you can find out more information by going to either of those two galleries.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask you. What will your website be?
What will my website be? My website will be under my name, Tabor Porter. I will be showing my jewelry on part of the site, and then I also am a big collector of found objects and antiques, and I'll be buying and selling those as well. I'm really glad that they have the virtual artist's studio project this time instead of being in-house, because my house, it took 3 years for me to just move in here. I have so much junk. But it means a lot to me. My house is more or less encrusted with pictures and pieces of art and jewelry and sound objects to make jewelry with. And then I have a big studio downstairs that's the same way.
Wonderful.
It would be hard for me to have people here.
Right.
I'm hoping to figure that out in the future, how I would do it, because I would love to have people over and show them. And I'd like to invite you over for tea, too.
I would love to come, and I can certainly relate to a house that is so full that you're not sure where to put people. One of the pieces that you have, and we've got to close, was the yod. Does that word mean anything to you?
It's what now?
It's the pendant that is in the shape, more or less, of a hand.
Yes, the hand. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is
it does mean a lot to me. It comes from many different religions, including the Jewish religion, and it keeps away the evil eye.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Keeps away evil and jealousy, mainly jealousy.
So, Yeah,
That at you with jealousy, it kind of negates that.
I figured you probably knew what it was, but you did a beautiful job on it. So it's called a yad, Y-A-D.
Uh-huh.
Which means
right.
Hand. So, very exciting. I am so looking forward to seeing this. And yes, I will miss the physical in touch part of it, but it sounds very exciting. 17 artists, the AVA Astoria Open Studios Tour, 10th annual, only first virtual. And hopefully by next year we'll be back in person. But this is something to think about in general as well. Thank you so much. Annie, anything else you want to tell us about it? Let's remind people how to get there.
So you can go on AVA's website, AstoriaVisualArts.org. You can also find us now on YouTube, where this is all originating from, which is new territory for us as well.
Wow.
And so we're looking to grow that. And it's neat that the videos will just last forever. So even though the tour is going to be, ending on the 30th, these artists will be able to use these videos to promote themselves. And, people from all over the world can learn about our local artists. Actually a super exciting new territory for us.
Can you give us a quick just rundown of the names and the form, the genre of art of those taking place?
Unfortunately, have a list of the names in front of me. I can try to recite as many from memory. There's Kathy Stearns. She's a mixed media artist. There's four or five artists out of the Astoria Studio Collective.
Okay.
So she's one of them. Kate Speranza, who's a painter metalsmith. Sterling Gorsuch, who is a printmaker. Morrison Pierce, who's a mixed media artist. Denise Monahan, who is an oil painter, primarily a mixed media artist. Tabor, of course, you'd say he's a multimedia artist as well, primarily a metalsmith is what we've been featuring and what his video features.
Candice?
Candy McKay. She is a multimedia artist. She does these amazing Christmas cards.
And political parasols, which I loved.
Political parasols. And wonderful glass mosaics, too. She has a ton of glass mosaics. Jeff Spears is a wood carver, really fantastic medium.
Great.
Robert Paulman, of course, he's been on the tour for a while. Jill McVarish has a really cool featurette.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we got to go now because we do have other guests, but I'm delighted to have you here. Congratulations to the AVA for getting this together, and congratulations to Tabor for being for having a virgin experience.
Thanks, Carol. I really appreciate being on the show.
You bet. Be well. Thanks.
You too. Bye-bye.
Rest in power, Eric Garner, father of six, choked to death for slinging loose untaxed cigarettes by tax-employed murderers, found not guilty for stealing the breath of a man they supposed to serve and protect. I have the nerve to suspect the system's depraved by design. Look who's on paid leave and look who's serving time. Was considered a casualty, was unforgivable crime. Blue acquitted for death, black sentenced to life. Who decides who's dangerous enough to die? Who decides who's dangerous enough to die?
Who decides who's dangerous enough to die?
Every single life is significant. Our right to breathe is legitimate. Who are you to judge who's worthy of love or cold blood? My sister's innocent, her black life mattered, but you ended it. You illiterate to the magnificence. Inscripted on her face, couldn't read the story of her greatness. Everyone she touched in all the places. Blink of an eye, you pull the trigger, now just blankness. It's shameless. No penalty, no remedy, it's heinous. It was legal to enslave us, now it's legal to erase us. From slave ships to cages to PDs training racists, and now we are the patients.
Now we are the patients.
If you see something, say something. If you see something, say something. I seen a whole lot of blood on the hands of the state, so I'm saying something, do something, agitate. They shot 19-year-old college student Kendrick McDay, left him to bleed on the street, receiving no first aid. Oscar Grant lay face down on the platform train, killed cold in the bitter chill on New Year's Day. Alonso killed by Taser for his extraordinary strength. Charmel assassinated on his wedding day by the same state sanction uniform gang that blew away 16-year-old Kamani Gray. Say her name, say her name, say her name. Yvette Smith, Kayla Moore, Darnisha Harris, Ayanna Jones, Chantel Davis, Alicia Thomas, Shelley Frame, Michelle Cassell. Subsequent coincidence, the cops killed without consequence. Snap convicted, plot depicted like an accident. Belittled cops acquitted, all predicted. Law enforcement contradicted. Had once lifted black and gifted, beautiful and dangerous enough to die.
Who decides?
That's some climbing poetry. Thank you, Margaret. Who decides? With Jasmine Brahms. And from the album Intrinsic, 2017. Hey, Megan, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Carol.
Okay. Hi, Megan Sokol, who's the Cannon Beach Arts Association Arts Education Director. Is that still your title?
That's it, yeah.
Okay, great. And Andrea Suarez, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
This is so novel to me. it's wonderful. Andrea is the bilingual camp staff, and they're going to tell you what that even means. I'll just let you know that this is the 18th annual CBAA, Cannon Beach Arts Association camp, arts camp, but this is the first virtual art camp at home, and it is taking place August 3rd through 7th. So that's next, not this coming week, but the week after that. And this is even more outrageous. So the quote from Megan and I were emailing back and forth, and as we all know, that can be rather confusing. But she came up with keeping kids' creativity going during this challenging times. And we're both thinking about that, and I'm very impressed. So congratulations for getting this going. And you've had mini videos going all during July, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been doing quite a few things. We're excited to talk with you today, and it, like you said, it's just so cool to be able to do this from safely, each from our respective homes. It's pretty cool to be making this work this year, and yeah, we're excited about camp, 18th annual summer art camp with the Cannon Beach Arts Association, and we are working on, you know, putting things together. That's a really unique option this year. We had to pivot, as you know, everybody really has. And mm-hmm. situation that we all find ourselves in, and we just felt that, you know, the Cannon Beach Arts Association, we're all about enhancing the vitality of arts in Cannon Beach and the surrounding area, and we thought, you know what, we provide opportunities for artists, and we also bring a variety of programs throughout the year, you know, as our normal programming, And we figured we can do this. We can figure out how to still get things to the kids and the families because we know it's going to be so important this year for to be bringing in some joy, but also some play and some opportunities to be able to make something creative this year.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you to tell us what that means, how it's even possible. First, I just want to find out, Andrea, what's your part in this? How does this work that enables...
Well, I basically help Megan with everything that she asks me. I try to just jump in anywhere that I see needs help or needs translated. I tap in with the community. For example, the Lower Columbia Hispanic Council is really amazing with letting me join in on their Zoom meeting during their parents' cafe.
Nice.
So that was pretty cool getting to, like, get that information out to, like, those communities. And, I mean, we get a lot of really great feedback. I get phone calls and emails and everything, and my role is just as a point of contact for the Hispanic families and also, you know, to help Megan, like, with everything else that she's doing to help put that together.
Wow.
So that we didn't have to cancel this year. It's just really awesome that we didn't have to cancel. Everything got canceled. This is, like, the one thing that we're, like, go for, you know, pressing forward and...
Yeah, but
lifted the spirit.
But this feels like the most challenging to me. So how and what is happening?
Yeah, so what we've done this year, we kind of started brainstorming what's a way that we could make this work. And we figured the best way to do that is to get the art-making supplies to kids and to students and families that are wanting to make something. So we've been working hard behind the scenes collecting all sorts of amazing materials and modalities that are going to go into these incredible boxes. Andre and I actually just came from our board of directors. We were just packing this afternoon before we got in to talk with you, Carol. So we're working hard to get things packed up and ready to go. And these little art kits are going to come to each person that signs up for camp so that you have the art supplies at home, which is not only incredible for this year for camp, but
fantastic.
A lot of families that don't have access to art supplies or maybe, you know, can't get out to them right now. So you get to keep those. You get to keep everything that comes to you, and we're putting in some extra goodies, too, so that you can still keep making after camp happens, too.
So give me an example. What's in the box?
Yeah, so we've got 9 different options for what would typically be our class. So we had already been planning with the teachers when all of, you know, COVID-19 hit and the lockdowns were happening. And we reached back out to them and said, hey, would you be willing to figure out how to make this a virtual option or a paper-based option? And 5 of them said yes, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And so we've worked with them to figure out how we could translate what they would typically do in person and bring it into a kit that can go home with them, and each kit's going to have paper instructions inside that the teachers have provided for us, so you can kind of walk through it. It's also going to include some pre-recorded videos, so the teachers are working hard getting their videos recorded for
you.
That we're
in the box, so you mean...
So the videos are actually going to be available virtually, so you can
online.
We're going to have them like on YouTube. We'll also have them listed on Facebook, so if you're a Facebook person, you can reach them there on our social media, and we'll be connecting with the families too, so they know where to reach out to those. But we know not everybody, you know, has access to computer or internet right now, so that's why we wanted to do the paper instructions, so that if you know, or if you just don't prefer to get online, because some people they've just been on Zooms nonstop, right? So.
Yeah.
If they just want to do the paper-based version and just kind of follow the instructions that way, it can be really self-led, and you can kind of, you know, go at the art projects as you'd like to with the teacher's instructions. The cool thing about camp is it's happening August 3rd through the 7th, so you also have the third option of having kind of a live interaction with the teacher. So we've got some chat rooms we're going to have set up with, you know, select teachers at different times during that week, so that you can kind of, you know, ping in with them and at a specific time for your class. And if you have questions or you just want to kind of hold up and show off what you're doing, you know, through your chat room or through your live video with the teacher, you can. I think that's going to be a really unique and amazing thing about the week of camp.
So, Andrea, did you translate the instructions in the boxes going to Spanish-speaking families?
Yeah, so any box that would go to a Spanish-speaking family would definitely have the instructions translated in Spanish because, you know, even if the kids, the children are English speaking as their first language, mm-hmm. usually their parents aren't.
Right.
And so it's really cool to, like, give them both instructions so they can, like, really immerse and, like, do it together. And
right.
it's not just like, okay, go do it on your own, you know?
Right.
It'll really, like, bring the parents into it, I think, with the instructions being available in Spanish.
I bet the parents are going to love it because, they, you know, hey, these art projects are for everybody. All
ages. They really are.
Right? So
We've got suggested ages on each of the art boxes, but I've been telling everybody interested, you can engage your inner child. So even if it's not a specific age and if you're much older, younger, what have you, and you feel excited about that box, please let us know. I mean, you know, we've got some fun things. We've got, like, Miss Betsy is doing some mini makers and some messy makers with some sensory play, like making slime and Play-Doh and some fun stuff.
Uh-huh.
I think I'll probably take that class. So, if it calls to you, we want you to sign up and take part in it, because I think everybody, again, could be using some art right now.
So if somebody gets a box, what's to stop them from doing everything on the first day?
Oh, gosh, good question, Carol. I'd want to do the same.
Binge.
Well, what we're going to be doing, kind of the breakdown, is because we're working on boxes right now, you have until, if you are needing shipping for your boxes, you can sign up today, tomorrow, or Sunday morning. That would be your final sign-up if you're needing us to ship a box out to you. That's just so it gets it to you in time, and it'll get there right on that Monday, August 3rd, when camp starts. So it should be getting to you right as camp starts. So the temptation maybe will be a little less as you get it that morning.
Right.
And then for our local families, anybody that's able to do a pickup, and Andre and I are going to be doing some drop-offs for local families,
mm-hmm.
if they need the option too, just so we can, you know, we'll be wearing our masks and gloves just so we can do a distance hello and
mm-hmm.
wave hello to everybody. You can still
Sweet.
Sign up for that if you're local until next Thursday, July 30th. That would be the final day to do so that you could pick up at the gallery that weekend.
And how do people sign up?
You can actually go to our website. So if you go to cannonbeacharts.org/kidsprograms, that's our main page. It's got all the information on there. We've actually got it set up so that there is an option in Espanol, so you can go and check out that page as well from there.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a sign-up button as well as our frequently asked questions since there's so many changes with COVID-19. And then a really important one is we have our scholarship button up there. And I'll let Andrea talk about that a little bit. We still have scholarship spots available.
Yeah, we do still have scholarship spots available. I'm just patiently waiting for someone to come give me a scholarship application.
Wow.
And
okay,
I guess I would
want
to say this. Si estás interesado en participar en el campamento de arte en casa, llámame a 786-258-7290. Tenemos becas disponibles. Todavía tenemos becas. Nos pueden llamar. Gracias.
Oh, God, that is fantastic. Oh, man, this is so exciting, and what a generous offering. And I want to point out to our listeners that my first guests with AVA and the Cannon Beach Arts, those are both .org. These are nonprofit organizations that are working for our community. How lucky are we to have dedicated people who care enough to, and of course they're artists, so they don't have a choice. They have to think outside the box, and that's
really
outside the box, and then create a box and
True.
Put all sorts of goodies in it. This is quite wonderful. And have either of you ever done anything like this before? The virtual aspect.
Andrea has not.
This is our first time.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got the idea as everything first hit. I was kind of drowning in art supplies at home, and I thought people should be using those. And so I started sending some out to family, and they just loved it. And I thought, you know what? I think we could translate this to camp. I think this will work.
I love this. I love it. I did not know the answer to the question about how you're doing this. So the fact that you are delivering to people's homes and you still have room, obviously, Andrea said there are still scholarships available, and that's Spanish or English. And
a full scholarship.
And of course, if you can pay or want to make a donation or whatever it is, that is terrific. But the main thing is to keep the creativity of our community alive and well, and especially with our kids.
Absolutely. We want kids having the opportunity to make. We want parents and guardians and families having that same opportunity. And we also keep an eye out on our website and our social media sites, so Facebook, Instagram, and even YouTube. We've got some free videos. We've got a Create at Home mini-series that we've been doing. One of Andrea's videos is actually going to go up tomorrow that walks kids and adults through some little mini-projects, about 10 minutes each, that you can actually take. We are loading those up every weekend in July so that you have that option as well. But, yes, please apply for a scholarship. We want people to come and take camp. We know that affecting families in all sorts of different ways. So
when with the regular camp, did parents have to be there when the kids were in camp?
No, actually, we have it set up so that they can do a drop-off. So that was kind of part of the creativity that we were trying to figure out, too. Is a big part of camp is we really want to support, parents and guardians that are working individuals that maybe mm-hmm. need a little bit of time to, you know, send kids off to camp. Of course, we can't do that in person this year, but we think that the feedback we've gotten from the kids have kind of tried this out already is they just go into it, and sometimes for a couple hours at a time.
Fantastic.
So hopefully that's going to give some parents a little bit of a breather, too, as they're getting but we want them to be involved, too. We find that they're probably going to be pretty excited once all the supplies come, too, to be creating with their little ones.
So this is cannonbeacharts.org/kidsprogram. Or
yes,
just go to
right.
cannonbeacharts.org. It'll get you to kids
you
program. Yes.
You can also email us at artcamp@cannonbeacharts.org if you have any questions. Or if you want to give me a call, that's 971-361-9308. And I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to, Carol, to our funders and grant sponsors. Without them this year, they were so generous. We just literally could not have done this. And
fabulous.
That's the Reeser Family Foundation, U.S. Bank, Blick Art Materials, and then our local friends also, the Bald Eagle Coffee House and Cannon Beach Book Company. They all support us fully. And so we just are so touched in our hearts and are just so grateful that we can do this because of them and offer this for the kids.
Way to go. One last quick question, and then I've got somebody else from Cannon Beach, Creative Cannon Beach happening as my last guest. But is there anything else happening through the CBAA? For example, is the gallery, can people still connect with the gallery in any way, the Cannon Beach Gallery?
Yes, you can. That's a great question, Carol. So we are actually open. Of course, you know, we're asking for fewer people in the gallery space with masks and, you know, all of that jazz just to keep everybody safe. But we are open Wednesdays through Sundays from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can always give a call, too, if you're wanting to make an appointment. So we've got some shows going up. Scott and Summer over at the gallery have been working really hard behind the scenes, too, to get some virtual things happening. So art's still coming in and out, and artists are being engaged. So actually one of our board of directors, Frankie White, is actually one of the artists that's going to be coming up next here, I believe,
nice.
In a couple of weeks.
Nice.
So,
yeah, wonderful.
We're still trying to engage in the arts all
yes.
around out there.
Well, the art saves lives, and the arts heal. And we all need healing right now. So thank you both
totally.
For being a big part of this.
Thank you.
And have a fabulous camp.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Oh, thanks so much for having us.
All right.
We appreciate talking to you, and you stay safe out there.
Yes. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Arts live and local. And we have, I think we have some music coming, folks. Yeah.
Strike curious poses. They feel the heat between me and
Bay. Anybody recognize that that music? Well, I've got Andrew Tonry here to explain to us who we're hearing and why. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Carol. It's so nice to hear you back on the radio. It feels like normal times almost.
Almost, right. For a few minutes. Thanks. It's good to hear real people's voices. I would not have recognized that. So tell us who that was and why we played it. Thank you, Graham.
Well, I'm sure your listeners recognize it.
Oh,
that was Prince.
Oh,
the inimitable, the great, the only, the one and only, the purple one.
The purple one, right. Right. You know, actually, for full disclosure, although I'd heard the name Prince, I was not familiar, very sadly, for myself until he died. And then I saw the movie, and I was totally blown away because of his movement. I had no idea he was a dancer and a gymnast, an acrobat. He was incredible. And so I'm sorry I missed all those years.
I don't know how you missed it, Carol. I'm surprised.
I'm old, that's how. But I'll need...
Well, how long was his career? I mean, how many decades?
Yeah,
but,
well...
That's fine.
He came after my time.
It'll be a great chance for you to get more familiar.
That's true, and I've been doing that, but I missed that song. So why did we play Prince?
We played Prince because this weekend in Cannon Beach, we are having a Prince tribute band from Portland, Erotic City, play the park in Cannon Beach. It's a free show. On Sunday, the 26th, at 5:30 p.m. It's a chance to get out and safely enjoy some live music, which is, I imagine you are with me here. That's one of the things I've been missing most of all during this time. I just need to hear some music in the actual airwaves being made, in a shared space with people. And, So the Cannon Beach Park is quite large, and I used to, in years past, I was always hoping people would, get a little closer to the stage, kind of make it feel more intimate. But now, in this time of, in this need for social distancing, it's a perfect space because people did it kind of naturally before. I mean, they'd bring their picnic baskets and their blankets and spread out, and it's a perfect space to do this safely, and we want everyone to be sure to adhere to guidelines, bring their masks, sit 6 feet from other folks, and enjoy this. And then if we're able to do that, we can do some more.
So,
and I'm just juiced to be able to do that.
I forgot to mention, who is Andrew? Andrew is actually the program director for the Tolovana Arts Colony, TAC, Tolovana Arts Colony, which is bringing, usually, don't you do this other years, bring us the summer concert series?
Yeah, we do a series every year, and I was a little afraid that we wouldn't get to this year, and the city has been behind us and supportive.
Great.
And we just want to, deliver some art and some experiences in a way that fits this, fits the needs of our time.
So Graham said this is a great band. You tell me, what does that mean? Are they going to be jumping all over, or is somebody, the lead guy, what is that, Julian Stefani, is he going to be dancing all over the place, or is...
It's uncanny, his resemblance and, style, and, down to, his performing chops. He's been doing this, this Prince tribute for 20 years, if not longer.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they are, I think a lot of folks out here on the coast recognize them for performances of Manzanita or Astoria. They rip, is another way to put it. The band is just, they slap. It's great. And he's, appropriately costumed and appropriately,
God, that's
just has that kind of...
Fabulous. How many people in the band-ish?
Five,
okay. And I suspect this is a family-friendly...
Yes, definitely.
Considering it's in the park, anybody is welcome. Yeah. And it's free.
I mean, there's just, you know, there's just so much to Prince's catalog that you could, you know, I mean, the Erotic City can play for, you know, 3+ hours in a single set.
There's
so much to mine from Prince's catalog, and you'll hear, you know, you'll hear hits and you'll hear deep cuts, and, you know, it's really something.
So it starts at 5:30. About how long do you think it'll go?
You know, at least an hour and a half.
Okay.
And then from there, it'll just be, we'll just, you know, I like to give performers a little bit of freedom in that end, because they know when people want more, even, and, you know, they know when the crowd's getting tired, just as,
right,
you know, better
right
than anyone.
Right, absolutely. But people can come by if they can't get there at 5:30, they can come by at 6, they can just stop in, drop in. That's the beauty of having it.
And it's going to be a beautiful day on Sunday.
Of course, so, of course.
I mean, I hope I didn't jinx it.
No, I'm sure not. So this is Second and Spruce. It's the City Park. There are other things going on there, which I am going to announce shortly. But this one sounds very exciting. Now, is the Tolovana Arts Colony doing anything else this summer?
We are. I'm going to continue the contest. I'm not quite ready to announce them. I want to make sure that this one, you know, is this goes well. It's respectfully attended, and people keep their distance. And, you know, I want to make sure that it works, and then we don't have to make any changes before I announce another one. But definitely looking at other artists right now. And what we're trying to do this year is for each band or each act, we want to make sure that to highlight performers of color. So we're going to make sure that all of our acts, you know,
nice,
adhere to that this year. So, yeah, I mean, I would expect, you know, again, I should be announcing them soon, but we're looking at middle of August.
Okay.
And then
keep us posted, and we'll keep it on the KMUN website. I should mention coastradio.org has all kinds of stuff going on, much better than some of the other calendars that are around, because this one's accurate. So are you having any classes offered at this point, or that's
the
not
only class? So we were offering classes again at Tolovana Hall, but then once the restrictions came back with the indoor mask wearing and things like that, you know, a lot of our classes are movement related.
Right.
So the only one that's continuing now is Zumba, which is happening in the park.
Okay.
As well, so the ladies can, ladies and gentlemen can all spread out and, you know, be safe and, you know, breathe properly.
That might be a fun performance to watch, too. They might not appreciate being watched.
Every Monday and Wednesday morning at 8:30.
There you go,
wide
folks.
Open. Anyone, you know.
Anybody can join in. Right. Now, Andrew, have you been the program director at TAC, Tolovana Arts Colony, since 2016? Is that right?
Yeah.
When you came?
I think so.
Right.
Something like that.
Right. Because this was Billy Holt and Uncle Mike Burgess that created Tolovana Arts Colony a number of years ago. And they've both left this plane, but they left a fabulous legacy. So I am so appreciative that you stepped in, and you're doing a great job. And can people access your website? Tell us how.
ToLovanaArtsColony.org.
Another .org. Okay.
You'll find information about the concert there. You can also see our new online gallery, which has some work from local artists, and it's, you know, a great time to support them during this.
Absolutely.
During this pandemic, and that also supports us.
Yes.
I should give thanks to the City of Cannon Beach again and the Parks and Community Services Committee, which helped fund these concerts and make it free. And again, the city's support has been awesome in this time.
Terrific.
They're as excited as we are to, you know, be able to get out in the world in a safe way and enjoy some.
Right. So again, folks, this is this Sunday, 5:30 p.m. Second and Spruce is the Cannon Beach City Park. Go and enjoy Portland's Erotic City with their Prince tribute band, Julian Stefani, and bring your masks and maintain social distancing, and this could happen again. Thank you so much for joining me. Andrew.
Thank you for having me, Carol. Great to be back.
Okay. Well, there are other things happening, including my guests from last week. Their performance is tonight and tomorrow night and next week. So the Sparrow Dance Company, 6 p.m. this evening at the Astoria Column. Tomorrow it's at 2 p.m. at the Garden of Surging Waves. It's going to be gorgeous dancing and of all kinds. And if you missed it, you can check our website, coastradio.org, and listen to the podcast. And then next Sunday, not this Sunday, August 2nd at 5 p.m. at the Columbia River Maritime Museum Plaza. Tonight also, Seasons Deli Courtyard is featuring Thistle and Rose from 5:30 to 7. And tomorrow, Saturday, is Bobcat Bob. And the AVA Open Studio Virtual Tour, Saturday and Sunday. Don't miss it. And Sunday, we just talked about the Prince concert. Also, Barbara Ann's going to be, folk singer, is going to be at Winecraft. Tommy Alexander, Cassie Velazzo, and Taylor Kingman at the Southwestern in Seaview. And the Astoria Arts and Movement Center is having Dance Church. I love this. Confess your stress to the dance floor. Love it. Astoria Arts and Movement .com. Folks, you might want to check all these, make sure they're really happening. I did my best. Tuesday, the Clatsop Community College Foundation and Fort George is having a benefit for Student Emergency Need Fund, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. at Fort George in Astoria. Dine in by reservation, and to go, just go to their website, give them a call, and benefit the students in our community. Wednesday, the Bistro Courtyard has Thistle and Rose. Thursday, Cannon Beach. Oh, the City Park is featuring R.J. Marx at 6 o'clock and the Columbians with Spud, Joel, and Bill at 7. And next week on August 1st is the Gearhart Art Walk. Trails End will be open. Check out the Coast Weekend. It has a great article by Catherine Lacaz about Gearhart. So you can check that out.
30 seconds.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy. Thank you so much for being with me, folks. Stay well. Treasure each day. Treasure each other. And thank you to all our heroes. Let's all be one of them. And a big thanks to Graham, our station manager, and my engineer and another hero.
Love you, Carol. It's KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org.